Andre Previn, the great conductor, composer, and pianist, and they're in performance, and he makes a brief appearance in the film we're going to look at next. You're with The Oasis here on the New Classical FM, our look at the arts on this first day of the Toronto International Film Festival.
I get up in the morning, I think piano. I go to bed at night, I think piano. I am a jazz pianist. That's all I want to be.
Who's at the top of the heap? Oscar.
I didn't know that a piano could be played that fast off the top of your head.
Oscar Peterson is what Muhammad Ali meant to boxing and what Michael Jordan meant to basketball.
Oscar Peterson, Black and White, the new documentary on the legendary jazz pianist. It will receive a world premiere at TIFF on Sunday evening at Lightbox, then again through the digital platform TIFF.net for tickets and details. The film tracks his early years as a prodigy in Montreal, his teenage success playing with legends like Ella Fitzgerald and Count Basie, his famous trio featuring Ray Brown and Herb Ellis, and his iconic civil rights anthem, Hymn to Freedom. We get a steady helping of why Oscar is considered one of the all-time greats through performance footage, bolstered by interviews with greats like Herbie Hancock, Billy Joel, John Batiste, Quincy Jones, Ramsey Lewis, and Branford Marsalis. But you also learn who the man was off the stage through dozens of interviews with friends, colleagues, and his widow, Kelly Peterson. Oscar Peterson, Black and White, directed and produced by Barry Averidge, one of this country's most accomplished documentarians. His subjects over the years have included David Steinberg, David Foster, Howie Mandel, Harvey Weinstein, and Garth Drabinsky. He's always been one of my favorite people to talk to. Barry Averidge, welcome back to The Oasis.
Thrilled to be here.
Absolutely. Much has been said about Oscar Peterson, but many will say not enough. Was that your thinking here? Why Oscar Peterson?
Well, you know, I've had a long issue with the way Canadians celebrate Canadians.
Right. That's sort of been your banner. That's been your big fight.
Always. Okay, here's a pin. Here's a stamp. Right. Here's a Governor General Award.
Right.
Whoever that is. But this month. But at the end of the day, you know, these are global treasures.
Yeah.
More than national treasures. Global treasures. And we've just had a weird relationship with celebrity in this country. Anybody that you talk to that's left will tell you that.
Right.
What I love about Oscar, and maybe that's one of the reasons that there is this contradiction of how we celebrate him, is that he did come back and always came back to Canada.
Right. I mean, Montreal was home, Mississauga was home.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So anytime he was on the road, he came back. There wasn't the house in Malibu, and there wasn't, you know, it's just somebody that always called Toronto his home, Canada's home. I think the same thing with Norman Jewison.
Right.
You know, why is it that when you name the 10 great cinema directors of all time, most people would forget to name Norman, which is why I did the same thing with Oscar Peterson, in that, you know, when I have these conversations with people about jazz, those who are really in the know would say, well, of course, Oscar. But too many others would name other people.
It was time. It was absolutely time. You know, he's an engaging interview. There's a lot of footage throughout this film we get to enjoy. It's so incredibly talented. Everybody in this film will tell you that. John Batiste from The Late Show fame, he can't say enough. Herbie and Quincy, just absolutely ecstatic. Billy Joel beside himself about Oscar in this film. Great that you got all these people. I sometimes ponder about his voice as a musician. It's almost like he made it look too easy, and that's maybe part of the problem. I don't know.
Maybe. But I think, you know, Oscar says it at the beginning of the film, I came to play.
Right.
And that's his life. You've never met a more generous performer than him, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I studied all of them. You know, even the late, great Buddy Rich. It's always about Buddy's solo. James Brown, punish the backline. Oscar was about the generosity of who played with him. You mentioned the trios and the multiple trios over his career. It was never about him alone. It was about the sum of all parts. It wasn't about fame. It wasn't about applause. He just loved playing, and God, he was good.
Oscar talks several times throughout this film about taking chances, that jazz is an interpretive art, that you're creating instant composition up there on the piano. So inspiring to just hear him talk about the artistry of what he was trying to do.
If you watch the interviews, and I'm going to go back and comment on that, the burden I had is who am I to tell Oscar's story? For all kinds of reasons.
Sure.
And so I basically said to my team, I want to scour the world and find every possible interview that he gave that people might not have ever seen and edit it in a way that he tells his own story through every milestone of his life. And if there's anything in between, it's music. There's no narration. There's no Barry Average's point of view. Who cares? I'm not a musicologist or an audiophile.
I think that was wise, yeah.
So let him tell his story.
Sure.
Right? And so, and what you find in, you know, this incredibly articulate academic who understands his instrument, he understands composition, he's a perfectionist, and you see that in the way he works and the effortless way in the way he plays, but it's not effortless.
If you're just joining us, producer and director Barry Average is here on this first day of TIFF 2021. His documentary, Oscar Peterson, Black and White, receives its world premiere at TIFF on Sunday, both in person and then digital. You know, I should note, it's not too hard to make several classical music connections here. Misha Brugger-Gossman is in your film, The Soprano in Performance. Andre Previn making an appearance. So does Itzhak Perlman.
Yeah.
There's a great focus on promoter Norman Granz, looking at jazz in the 40s and 50s. He really wanted to take great talent, jazz talent, and treat it with the same respect as classical talent and help to populate the jazz at the Philharmonic series in New York and across the U.S. And that was an interesting man to get to know a little better in your film.
Norman, I mean, you know, I've always loved promoters. You know, I like the moguls and the show business people.
Sure.
So Norman, who I'd never met, I loved his story. Selfless in that he did want to take what was the segregation of jazz performers to those smoky basements to the next level and elevate the art form. And that's what he does. He explodes jazz onto the stages of Lincoln Center and the great stages of all over the world.
I mean, what a linchpin as far as how we've come to imbibe jazz music over the decades.
He's it.
It's ridiculous.
He's it. And then gives a young Oscar Peterson the break to perform at Carnegie Hall when he's 15 or 16
just
years
a kid.
Old. It was just unheard of. And the great story in the film is that he's in Montreal, Norman's in Montreal, on the way to the airport and hears it on a radio. Hears Oscar play on the radio and says to the piano player, who is that? It was this live at the Alberta Lounge in Montreal, and turns the taxi around and goes back and finds Oscar.
That's a scouting mission right there.
That's a scouting mission, yeah, yes.
And two, I mean, this gets into him to freedom as well, that he really did stand up for his musicians, had to stand up for his musicians, and we get this real portrait of Oscar taking on the civil rights movement in a very big way with him to freedom, and a big part of this film.
It's a huge part of the film for a couple of reasons. One is, I mean, you'd have to be living under a rock, as they say, that cliche, to sort of not be aware of certainly what's going on today and what became the civil rights movement at that time. For Oscar, who had been exposed to prejudice in Montreal, some, on that end of it, it was everywhere, to then go on the road, the disconnect, which I found fascinating and which was shattering for him, is that you would go into a theater in the deep south in the U.S., the adulation from the audience for Oscar and his trio was enormous.
Yeah, you're on the marquee.
You're on the marquee, and then you do your show, standing ovation, and then he would go, because he loved people, he would go out into the lobby. They would say, Mr. Peterson, thank you. That was the most amazing performance ever. And he goes, thank you. And he'd put his hand out, and they go, oh, we're not going to shake your hand.
Right.
And by the way, you can't use the bathroom in the theater that you're performing in on the marquee. And by the way, you can't stay in the hotel around the corner. So this was a nightmare.
Coming down to the South, it had to be so shattering in so many ways. Separate bathrooms, the separate water fountains.
Where every heart.
Hymn to Freedom just became the anthem for the civil rights movement in the United States and across the world.
Together.
I wanted to show that the song resonates today. This is a song that he wrote 60 years ago. What's changed? Nothing.
Yeah.
At the screening on Sunday night at the Toronto Film Festival, its world premiere, Jackie Richardson will sing Hymn to Freedom.
Torontonians will be watching this. They'll note some of the people we actually were just talking about, some of our favorite jazz musicians in this film. Robbie Botosh, the pianist, Dave Young, Oscar's longtime bass player, the incredible Jackie Richardson, Misha, as we noted, drummer Larnell Lewis, Joe Seeley, the local legend, And these Canadians got together and created much of your soundtrack here.
It's exactly what it is. We were just talking about the fact that this should be a soundtrack that we release. Yes, I mean, when I talked about that structure, and what I'm not telling you is that I intend to stay here the entire afternoon with you and talk about it, but the structure of that film, of, as I call a docu-concert. So when I reached out to these musicians, and the other phenomenon is that we made this film in 7 months during COVID. So when I reached out to those performers to get together in a sound studio.
Beautifully shot, by the way.
In Toronto. Thank you.
Really nice.
Lush, right? These musicians hadn't played in a year and a half due to COVID. There's an intimacy that's required. We still needed to practice all the COVID protocols of testing and shooting, and everybody sort of wearing masks aside from the performers. You see them in the film tuning up and they're wearing their masks. But to get everybody together and film them live, 9 cameras, oh my God, to hear that music, oh, it was a thrill for me.
And also a great reminder. I mean, if we think of Oscar as maybe the greatest piano export in this country, or jazz piano export, I mean, there's a whole group of incredible Canadian talent right there.
And a mix.
I mean, the best going, really.
Yes, the best going. Those that are, you know, like Denzel Sinclair, fabulous.
How could I leave out Denzel?
So, I mean, you know, you've got the legends, the emergers, you know, and the national treasures. It was fun.
Barry, you make good movies.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I try.
It's always great to talk to you. I love this one. I'm always interested to see what you're going to do next. And thank you so much for taking some time with us this afternoon.
I'm happy to come into the Oasis anytime you want me.
Barry Averich, the producer and director of Oscar Black and White. It receives its world premiere at TIFF on Sunday. You can watch it through the digital platform. It then gets a theatrical release on the 18th in Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal. And you'll be able to stream it in the not-too-distant future towards October as well. A must for music fans. And this is Oscar Peterson's Hymn to Freedom here on the New Classical FM.